الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. ما شاء الله، we have been listening to very important talk. And Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahab has already covered many of the important points that we need to understand and that we need to remember with regards to the ilm of deen. Allah Azza wa Jal has many names, as we know. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has beautiful names. And one of the names of Allah Azza wa Jal is Alim. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who has ilm. He is the one who has knowledge. So ilm is a sifat of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ilm is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Muslims, we are encouraged to develop these qualities. There are attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal which are specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So neither we are told to get them, nor it is possible. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Al-Khaliq. Allah is the creator. We cannot become creators. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Ar-Rabb. He is a sustainer. We are not required to become sustainers. Neither we can become sustainers, even if we want. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Ar-Raziq, Ar-Razzaq. Inna Allah huwa Ar-Razzaq Dhul Quwwati Al-Mateen. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who gives rizq and He provides sustenance. We are not required to become Raziq, nor we can become, even if we desire. But there are certain qualities that we are encouraged to develop. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal is Rahim. Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful, and we are encouraged to have mercy. Allah Azza wa Jal, He forgives. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, غافل الذنب قابل التوب شديد العقاب. Allah forgives. In fact, Allah forgives a lot. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is Ghaffar. Ghaffar yani someone who forgives a lot. Allah is Al-Ghafoor. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is really most forgiving. And we are encouraged to forgive. We forgive each other. So there are certain qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal that we are encouraged to develop. And one of them is the quality of ilm. We are encouraged to gain ilm and develop the quality of ilm. Because ilm helps human being become a better person. Ilm perfects the insaniyat, the humanness of human being. I don't know if that is a correct word or not. Human being has what Shawariullah Sahib Muhaddith Zahlavi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, has bahimiyat. Bahimiyat yani being animal. And we also have malakutiyat. Malakutiyat yani resemblance with angels. So we have mix of both, bahimiyat and malakutiyat. We have our lower self and we have our higher self. Our lower self drags us to animalness. We become animals. We become wild. Our desire is just our stomach. We have lower desires. when we have resemblance with Malaika, then we have spirituality. So ilm is one of those important tools which makes a person a better person. And when we say ilm, it is the ilm which Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because it is a requirement, it is not luxury, it is not something, you know, bonus, have it, don't have it. No. It is a requirement. Every Muslim must seek ilm. Every Muslim must gain knowledge of the Quran and knowledge of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a requirement. Allah Azza wa Jal, when He revealed the Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first ayah, as we know, is Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. Now read. Read means you can read, or read means you must read. If you say, do this, does it mean you can do this or you don't have to do this? Or do this means you must do it. Do this means I suggest you do it if you like. Or do this means you have to do it. Iqra is a command. And the ulama of usul, they say command is for obligation. So iqra means you must read. You have no choice. You must read. But reading has to be associated with the name of Lord, with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not random reading. Not reading from cloud. Reading from anywhere. Read iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the Quran, and right at the beginning of the Quran, Allah obliged Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, this obligation is actually for us. This obligation is actually for us, that we must read. We must read so that we gain the ilm of the Quran and we gain the ilm of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why ilm in Islam is obligation. Many people think that it is an extra thing. It is optional matter. It is not optional matter. It is a necessity. In fact, there is a clear hadith. There is a clear hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. Seeking ilm is an obligation upon every Muslim. Everybody who calls himself Muslim, he or she must seek ilm. Man, woman, young, old. As Mufti Sahib mentioned, there is no age limit. Obviously, when you are young, you have a lot of time. You have a lot of convenience. And also, your mind is receptive. Once you grow up, you have so many worries, family, business, jobs, right? However, if the motivation is strong, anybody can seek ilm. Anybody can seek ilm. In fact, in the Islamic history, we have examples of people who became great ulama at a later stage. They became big ulama. And they did not start early, they started quite late. Because we are not seeking ilm to show off. We are seeking ilm to benefit ourselves. We are seeking ilm to correct our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. We want to know what Allah wants from us. Right? Don't we have to? That, you know, Allah created us. There must be a reason why He created us. He must want something out of this life. Isn't it something necessary, something important that we find out, we figure out? What is it that Allah wants from us? Well, obviously, anybody who has common sense would say, if you have not learned up to now what Allah wants from you, you must learn now. Well, you should have learned at an early stage But somehow, for whatever reason, if somebody did not figure out, well, you must learn now. You must start now. Not today, now. There is a famous alim, faqih, muhaddith from Andalus. Andalus, yani Spain. Spain used to be Islamic country. And history is very fascinating. How a Muslim country turned into a Christian country? Spain was a center of Islamic knowledge. Spain was, you know, beacon of Islamic civilization. And how all of a sudden everything collapsed. Now you go to Spain, many big masajid. Big masajid, great masajid, beautiful masajid. Unfortunately, may Allah forgive us, turned into churches. Anybody who has not visited Spain, if possible, go and see. Iqbal, Allama Iqbal, rahmatullah alayh, famous poet, famous shair, he visited Spain and he cried. And actually, he learned some lessons. Why the Muslims, although they built beautiful masajid, somehow their civilization declined. Ibn Hazm is a famous alim from Andalus, faqih, muhaddith, and he has compiled many books. In fact, he has his own madhab, almost. He the imam in his own right. There are many views of Ibn Hazm, rahmatullah alayh, the majority of the ulama do not agree with. But nobody denies his ilm, and nobody denies his fadl and his kamal and his knowledge. Ibn Hazm, rahmatullah alayh, he did not learn at an early stage. He started quite late. He mentions that one day I entered the masjid to pray janaza. Some people, they come to the masjid to pray janaza, right? Have you seen that? Have you experienced that? Sometimes we see that. I have seen sometimes people, they come for janaza, and you don't see them before, and you don't see them afterwards. May Allah forgive us, my brothers, my sisters. You know, if there is no other reason for you to teach your children Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there is no other reason except that they can make dua for you, this is enough. If we do not teach our children what is Quran and what is Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then God forbid, they may not even make dua for us. They may not even pray janaza for their parents. I have seen sometimes in Europe janazas coming to the masjid. Family is there, family is sitting behind on chairs. You know, you go to a stadium, there are some people who play and some people who watch. Is that right? So some people, may Allah forgive us. It is happening. It is happening right in front of our eyes. Some people are coming to the masajid not to pray janaza, but rather to watch the janaza. May Allah forgive. I have seen that myself. Once janaza was brought, so, you know, you usually, like when janaza comes, you carry the coffin because there is a lot of ajr to follow the janaza. Lot of ajr to pray janaza prayer. It is the haqq of a Muslim. So coffin was being carried. The family, they wanted to, you know, take care of it. Obviously, if the family wants to take care of it, especially when you don't know the people, what do? You take a step back and you say, okay, you go for it. I saw the children of the deceased, who was a Muslim, may Allah forgive him and forgive all of us. The children, they came wearing suits. Nice, beautiful, you know, dry clean, mint condition suits. They came to carry the coffin, carry janaza. As Muslims, when we carry janaza, we think about life, right? We have some reflection about the person who has died, how he lived his life, and the reality of life. This is it. This is it. No matter how long we live, end of the day, khalas, everybody must go. So that time can come any time. What is it that we have done so far in order to prepare ourselves for this stage? Everybody will have that stage. Whether we like it, we don't like it, we want it, we don't want it. Right? So as Muslims, that is the time to have that thought process. The children are carrying the coffin. And they look very smart, they look very, well presented, nice. They were carrying, obviously, the wooden coffin sometimes can be heavy. Especially if you have chosen a heavy wood, right? Because some people have wish to have the best coffin in the world. He was carrying and he felt that it is quite heavy. So he cursed his own father. The child cursed his own father while carrying his coffin. I am not telling you a story which I have read somewhere in the newspaper or somebody told me. No, I have witnessed that. May Allah forgive me. My brothers, if the Muslim children do not study the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they are going to remain Muslim? How they are going to remain Muslim? That's why seeking ilm is a priority in our life. Seeking ilm, we must consider it obligatory. And people have learned at all stages in their life. So I was mentioning about Ibn Hazm, rahmatullah alayh, he entered the masjid for janaza. So, you just want to sit down somewhere and wait for things to happen, and then you pray janaza. So he just sat down. Somebody told him, excuse me, pray tahiyatul masjid. You enter the masjid, what you do? Pray tahiyatul masjid. Okay, he quietly prayed tahiyatul masjid. He prayed janaza. He went outside. And then he returned back. He returned back, he remembered that, I sat down actually, and somebody reminded me that I should pray. So he started praying. So somebody stopped him. Excuse me, don't pray at this time. This is the makruh time. So he said to himself, I don't know when to pray, and I don't know when not to pray. I must learn. Immediately from there, he went to somebody and asked him, I want to learn what are the times the prayer can be done and what are the times the prayer cannot be done. So show me the house of a faqih, the house of a alim. So he went to a alim, he went to a faqih, and he started learning. He started learning and he continued learning dedicatedly for 3 years. For 3 years he was learning day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. He says about, at that time people used to have a lot of barakah in their time, and also with ikhlas, with sincerity, with dedication, right? In 3 years' time, I say this to our students. Any students from Alim course here? MashaAllah, everybody. One. Where are the other people? They are hanging around? In just 3 years' time, he was able to debate. He was able to do munazara. Children, they study 3 years, 4 years, and still they say, inshallah, slowly, I will improve myself. I say, when are you going to improve yourself? If you have studied 3 years, 4 years' time, and you cannot read 5-10 pages in Arabic, when are you going to improve yourself? My ustaz, may Allah Azza reward him, he used to say, you are not a student if you don't read 50 pages every day. If you don't read 50 pages every day, you are not talib al-ilm. And he used to say that sometimes I lock myself for 16 hours. 16 hours he used to lock himself. And he used to just keep reading. He will just keep raisins next to him. Because even if you drink water, you have to go to the bathroom. He doesn't want to go to the bathroom. But if you go thirsty, what do you do? Eat raisins, but obviously with moderation. So he used to keep raisins and he used to just study. My brothers, ilm is one of the important tools to preserve our deen. That's why it is high time that we take care of our young generation. And we kind of start movement to direct people towards ilm. Everybody, man, woman, young, old, everybody must start movement, you know, like a campaign. What are you doing? Well, I'm seeking ilm. What do you do? I'm encouraging people, other people to seek ilm. What do you do? I bring students to the madrasa. What do you do? I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Whatever you are doing in order to encourage people to seek ilm. Without this, we are in a very risky position, in a very risky situation. God forbid, we have a generation of people who do not know the basics of Islam, who do not know the basics of Quran, the basics of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam is not a family or a tribe. We are not a clan. We are faith. We are belief. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Without belief, there is no Islam. Belief requires amal. Amal requires ilm. Amal requires ilm. Subhanallah. How we are in this situation, I don't understand. Our elders, they used to travel thousands of miles. Thousands, not hundreds of miles. Thousands of miles for seeking ilm. And there are so many stories of people who dedicated their lives for seeking ilm. There is a famous story of an alim. He went to Baghdad and his desire was to meet with Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was a great alim of Sunnah and also muhaddith. But Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, he had a position, scholarly opinion, scholarly position, which was against the ruler of the time. So the Khalifa in his time, he twisted some of the beliefs, some of the Islamic beliefs, he misrepresented. So obviously, alim has to say, this is right, this is wrong. What is the point of having ilm if you cannot say what is right, what is wrong? In fact, it is obligatory upon ulama. It is a wajib upon ulama to clarify the haqq. Whether somebody likes it, somebody doesn't like it, somebody takes it, somebody doesn't take it, it doesn't matter. So somehow he ended up in Baghdad. And he went to a masjid. He doesn't know where to go, whom to meet. In the masjid there was a sheikh and he was giving a dars. So he sat down and he said, can I ask a question? I'm a traveler. You know, I have traveled from such and such place. And I really came all the way to Baghdad to seek ilm. So you allow me to ask a question? He said, yes, go. And he asked several questions. And then he asked about ulama whom he can seek ilm from. What do you think about this person? He said, yeah, okay. What do you think about that person? He said, no, that person is no good. So he asked about several people. This is called ilm of jarh and ta'dil. Ta'dil, you say that somebody is reliable. Jarh, you say somebody is not reliable. Then he asked about Ahmad ibn Hanbal. What do you say about Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh? He said, he is the Imam of Muslimin. he's a fadil, he's a great scholar, etc. Okay. He left the masjid and he asked somebody, can you please show me the house of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal? They showed him the house. He knocked the door. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he looked around. Anybody seeing you? He said, no. Come, get in. Because Ahmad ibn Hanbal was watched. Because Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, he was opposing the Khalifa of his time. Khalifa, he was interfering in the matters of deen. And Khalifa was imposing aqidah which was incorrect upon the people. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, being alim, he has to say the truth. But because he said the truth, he was facing difficulty. He was not allowed to give any dars. He was not allowed to give any lectures. He was not allowed to meet with people. He was not allowed to narrate a hadith. He's a muhaddith. He's a great muhaddith. In fact, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullah alayh, he used to know 1 million ahadith. 1 million ahadith. كان يحفظ ألف ألف حديث. So such a great muhaddith, خلاص. He's banned. He is totally banned. So he said, get in. So he got inside the house. And then he said, okay, you know, have the food, etc. Then this person said, well, I came from such and such place. And actually, the only reason I came here to is to seek the ilm and to learn the hadith from you. Imam said, well, you might know my situation. You know the difficulty I am in. He said, yes, I know. But still, I want to learn the hadith from you. Every day, just one hadith, two hadith, three hadith. I don't want to have a lesson as such. But still, I want to learn. Well, how is that possible? That you come regularly? Right? Because if somebody comes regularly, he's going to be watched. Then the person who came to seek ilm, he said, I will come to your house as a beggar. I will have something on my head and cover my face. And I will make announcement. Anybody there to give me something? Do you have any food for the sake of God? Do you have any money, you know, for sadaqah? I will just make announcement as a beggar. And then you can open the door and try to figure out who I am and what I want. And in the meantime, you can narrate me one hadith, two hadith, three hadith. He stayed in Baghdad in that situation, like a beggar. Look, you know, this is the humility. But this humility is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He stayed like that until the Khalifa died. Because Khalifa is going to die one day, right? If you have a power, the power will not last. Khalifa died. Khalifa's son became Khalifa, but Khalifa's son did not have that, the same belief. Alhamdulillah, he had the belief of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So Imam Ahmad, he came out and he started giving dars in the masjid. At that time, Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh used to make him sit right in front of him. Even if he comes late, he will say, come and sit here. My brothers, our early Muslims have preserved Islam because this is the amana of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they have passed this amana to us. We need to preserve this amana for our own benefit and for the benefit of future generations. This is necessary for us and also for the future generations. So seeking ilm of deen, we must make it our priority so that we preserve our own deen and we preserve the deen of the future generations. Alhamdulillah, you know, with Allah's tawfiq, we have, mashallah, so many programs in this idara. Hifz, Alimiyat, Iftah, weekdays, weekends, for men, for women, for everybody. So there is no excuse for anybody not to seek ilm. And somehow, if you cannot dedicate all your time, well, give as much time as you can. If you cannot dedicate all your time, then direct somebody. If you direct somebody, you will have their ajr. You direct 2 people, direct 5 people, direct 10 people. You know, people do marketing. Have you seen that? People go around and sell products. Why they do that? Because you sell a product, you get commission, right? You sell a product, you will get some benefit out of it. You bring one customer, you will have this much of reward. You will have this much of bonus. You bring 10 customers, you will have this many profits. The best thing to do is to bring people to the Quran, bring people to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bring your own children, bring the children of your neighbors, bring the children of your community, of your locality. Just go around anywhere, just find anybody and bring them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Believe me, the thawab that Allah Azza wa Jal will give on the Day of Judgment, that will make everybody inveigh these people. There are only 2 people who can be inveighed. One is alim, who is seeking ilm and who is teaching ilm. Another somebody whom Allah Azza wa Jal has given wealth and he is spending wealth day and night for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no other third person who deserves to be inveighed. If Allah Azza wa Jal has given you wealth, then you spend your wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal day and night. That is the best thing you can do. If not, well, seek ilm. Help people to seek ilm. Help people. My brothers, I really find very strange. Some sects in Iran, in Iraq, in Lebanon, they spend so much money for talaba, I cannot imagine. They are minority. And their aqidah is not correct. Their belief is not correct. They are a small minority. But they spend lot of money on their students and also on their scholars. Their scholars, you cannot imagine. Their students, forget about receiving, you know, asking them to pay a fees. Their students never pay any fees. Their students can study for 10 years, 15 years for free. I am saying this with, you know, confirmed knowledge and direct first-hand information. It is not like I've heard somebody. No, I have seen it myself. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me tawfiq. I have traveled. So I have seen myself. There is students, not only that they do not pay the fees, students are paid salary. Students are paid salary, which is equivalent to a normal salary 4 times. What is the average salary of a person who is doing a normal job in Chicago? Let's say, for example, somebody who is doing a normal job, whatever work you are doing in Chicago, you are being paid $4,000, $5,000, for example. They pay their students just to study $20,000 of their, you know, whatever the currency they have. If you are going to pay students here in Chicago $20,000, what do you think they are going to do? What do you think they are going to do? Believe me, everybody wants to study. Is that right? You know, if I make announcement today, Secretary Saab is here. I don't know, will he allow me to make this announcement or not? If I make announcement today that anybody who comes and studies at Darul Uloom Chicago will be paid $20,000, what are you going to do? But these people, they are doing that. They pay salary for their students. They have free accommodation for their students. And if the student is married, they will give him apartment free without any rent. And not for 1 year, 2 years. They study for 10, 15 years. I have seen students from India, from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, from Africa, from Indonesia, from anywhere. And studying in their madrasas, studying in their institutes. And as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we see that we are on haq, aren't we? The people who follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people who follow the Jama'at of Sahaba radiallahu anhum are haq. Right? We are on haq. Any doubt in that? Alhamdulillah, no. So if we are on haq, how come we are not supporting the haq? If we are following haq, which we are, how come we are not supporting haq? How come we have to have the fees to sustain the madrasa? How come? Don't we have rich people in our community? Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are poor people. The majority of the money of the world is in the hands of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are the richest people in the world. Not millionaires, billionaires. We have trillionaires. Some people are trillionaires because of the accounts, because of the stocks and because of the shares. No, we don't have stocks and shares. We have people who have hard cash. Among Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we have people who have hard cash. But we are not supporting the haq. We are not supporting the truth. We are not supporting our madaris, our institutes. And that's why our system is very weak. So we need to wake up. And we need to do something to support ourselves, our generations, and our future generation. May Allah give us tawfiq. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك التقى والهدى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء ربي زدنا علما ربي زدنا علما ربي زدنا علما اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم يا واسع الفضل اغفر لنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم يسر لنا أمورنا مع الراحة لقلوبنا وأبداننا والعافية في ديننا ودنيانا اللهم فرج عنا وعن المسلمين أجمعين اللهم فرج عن كربنا وعن كرب المسلمين أجمعين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين